Do you think a dude actually killed two birds with one stone?
Definitely.
Some point in time in history? Like, imagine you're hungry. It's like, okay, it's time for lunch. I'm going to go out and kill something. And all you have is stones. Maybe a slingshot. I don't know.
Let's say all you have is one
stone. Let's say all you have is one stone. Maybe you have a slingshot. Maybe you don't. I don't know. And you go out there and, like, imagine how hard it would be to just hit one bird.
Yeah.
And not only hit it, but stun it enough to where it falls down for you to capture it. Mm-hmm. Now, and how ecstatic you would be at that point. Now, imagine somehow, I think that the only way this could happen is through a slingshot. I don't think Nolan Ryan could do this, because he actually did throw a baseball and hit a bird with a pitch. Have you seen that?
On live television.
On live television. Yeah, I did. Epic. But even
if it hadn't happened so long ago, no one would believe it was a real video. Like, right. You'd be like, that's an AI video.
That's an AI thing. Yeah. But that ball couldn't have actually killed another bird on it, right? So, like, the stone...
Well, it depends on how high off the ground it was.
Yeah, maybe. So imagine that stone actually killing a twofer. You get a twofer, and how ecstatic you would be.
Yeah.
Now...
So I think there are a lot of things that depend here. First of all, what is the size of the stone? Okay. If you get a good-sized stone, you got two birds sitting in the nest, you hit one, you hit both, okay?
If you're Brock Lesnar and you have a boulder and you just throw it onto this nest...
If you get a good-sized stone, you know, pancake size,
yeah,
and you hit... It's almost at that point, if there's two in the nest, good luck hitting only one.
Yeah, that's true.
You see what I'm saying?
That's a good point. But imagine, let's just say hypothetically, this is, they're, you know, tribal, like, they're out hunting... Mm-hmm. He hits
in your mind. You're envisioning, like, the story I'm telling myself is that you're envisioning like a river stone,
like going out hunting.
Yeah, like you might put David picked up out of the river to go kill Goliath.
Yeah,
with
the five stones, and just
is what you have in mind.
This is what I have in mind.
Okay.
Now, if that happened, he'd be absolutely ecstatic and coming back home just like,
you will never
I am the boss.
What happened to
I
me
am
today.
Now the chief of this place. You know, this is my tribe now.
And then they made
you
their king.
I'm the captain now. Yeah. You know, that mentality. But then I would be so upset with how loose we use that term these days. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, I need gas and I want some gummy bears.
Let's just kill two birds with one stone.
It's like, do you know how easy that is? Quick Trip has them all over the place.
We'll just do it in one fell swoop.
One fell swoop, yes. Right. It's like one fell swoop. I don't even know if you know what that means.
You're walking around with my name. I don't want people thinking associating me with...
I just feel like that I would be very upset with how loose we use that. If I was the guy hunting... And killed two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
And now today we're like, hey, let's just go grab some cocktails and lunch, or happy hour and lunch, or like some gasoline and gummy bears. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, listen, I get it. You want to kill two birds with one stone. Don't use my phrase.
Yeah. Don't you dare feel like you have killed two birds with one stone.
Right. Okay? Do you know how hard that is?
You have killed no birds.
I don't know, so maybe...
Here's a stone. Let me see it.
I killed a bunch of roosters today, and so it was kind of on my mind. I did not do it with a stone, though.
Hmm.
It was a metal object.
I was going to say, you could have probably found, if you looked for a long time, found a stone that you could have put into, like, a muzzle loader.
Mm-hmm.
And then, no doubt in my mind, you could have killed two birds with one stone. Also, does it count if you pick the same, if you like hit a bird and you pick up the stone?
No, it's one fell swoop.
It's still the stone. I agree. I think it has to be in one fell swoop.
Right.
But it's only fell for the bird.
Well, it fell.
It fell.
Yeah.
Hmm. Gosh, those are good thoughts.
You're welcome. You're heading to Wyoming in the morning.
Yeah, dude, like so early.
I'm so envious of you.
And then we're coming back.
Really fast.
Yeah. We're going to be driving only, like, the time it's going to take. It's a 15-hour drive.
One way.
It's going to take longer to get there. It's 15 hours of driving.
Yes.
And then we're going to go on Wednesday and we're coming back on Sunday. We're going to be driving for like almost as much time as we will be with people while we're there.
Right.
But it'll be great.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
I think. I don't care. I'm not going.
It's going to be nice.
I mean,
beautiful. You know
I've
what?
Never, you know what? I've never been to Wyoming.
Wyoming really gets a bad rap.
It does?
Yeah, because people are like, oh, nobody lives there. And that's true. It's pretty much nobody who lives there.
That's part of the attractiveness to it.
The O'Brien family reunion, when it takes place, we actually increase the population of the state by 1%.
Kind of like the Minahan family with Porter?
Yeah, when you guys moved to Porter, that's right. It's like,
we went over 1%.
This place is going up in the world.
This place is booming.
It's a boom. I mean, technically speaking, just saying literally it's a boom.
It's a
boom. Because the Minahans are here.
Yeah. Dude, you know what I'm going to do this weekend?
Tell me.
Go to our 20-year reunion.
Dude.
High school reunion.
Last week, we were talking about how excited I was to go. But we were like, you know what? I'm going to go. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And I told you, like, finally, I feel like my life is at a place where I can brag to our old, like, I can finally show off. I can show, like, yes, I have things going. Things are good, you know? And how selfish I was. We were discussing that.
Some of my many faults. Your pride, yeah.
And then yesterday, I realized.
I'm not going.
No, we're going to be gone. I won't even get to go. This is justice. This is what.
The Lord is right.
This is why the Lord is good.
Yes. I was reading, like, I saw something either yesterday or the day before talking about guys going to their high school reunion, and they're like, oh, it's my 20 years, so I'm gonna lose weight. And the wife is like, oh, you're gonna lose weight for the people that you haven't seen in 20 years? Like, I'm here that you see every day? That's not a motivation. It's the people that you actually don't like, that you have not seen in 20 years. You really want to be motivated to start looking good. You told me
with your mouth that you don't like any of these people.
Right. And which I think is kind of funny as well.
Yeah.
But
you know what? You know what? I get it.
I mean, we're definitely old.
That is one of the things you show up at your 20 year and it's going to be like amazing how like people are
there. There's going to be people there. I'm going to be like, I haven't thought about you.
Right. And how like now you're bald and fat. You know, like last time I saw you, you were young. You were 18.
Yeah.
And now you're a fat, bald, middle-aged man. That's who you are now. And that's it's jolting for the mind to have this image of a person and then be like, dude, I don't know how you've been doing, but your head, it's worse.
You know what? The next time you go to a reunion, people are going to think that about you.
I know. I'm wearing a hat.
You've already decided. Because, like, this is your last opportunity to really go probably with...
Dude, it's like, you can't say that I'm not... Like, everybody knows... Well, the thing is, I'm tall.
Yeah, exactly. Okay? That's what I'm saying. And it, you know, you're, the part that's balding is at the very top.
Yeah.
Like, your front is still good.
The front looks so good.
Yeah, it's like a reverse mullet.
Yes.
You're very serious at the front.
Just waiting for that to catch on.
Yeah.
What I tell people is that the Lord saw fit to tonsure me with his own hand.
Yeah.
Very slowly.
And painfully. Dull blade.
Indeed. So, indeed.
But it does feel weird to be old enough to go to 20. And I remember hearing people talk about that.
When you weren't even 20 years old.
When I wasn't even 20 years old. And thinking like, how do you feel young still?
Right. And
like you're going to a 20-year reunion.
I remember thinking like,
I'm not
it
even
is
sure.
So sad that you're that old.
And
like,
that
that's got to be embarrassing.
And that you think that you're young. Like, that's the sad part.
I don't think I'm young, but I still think I could do anything better than a high schooler, which is stupid.
So wrong.
It's so
dumb. It's so wrong.
I know. It's just one of those things I think in my head. And, you know what I'm saying?
I don't think that at all.
Okay. Well, sometimes I do.
Well, we have my oldest son Luke here today.
Welcome, Luke.
In the peanut gallery.
Sitting in choir.
Yeah. And then we also have Sir Jim, who's not been knighted, but we're gonna call him Sir Jim.
Temporary. It's a trial knighthood. We're gonna see how you do.
Oh, I also have to tell you something. Leo, my five-year-old. We went to a small town rodeo over the 4th of July weekend, Hartshorn, America, which we talked about last episode. Placed second in mutton busting. So he didn't get first.
That's too bad.
But it wasn't his fault. I mean, you know, when you ride for a full 8 seconds.
I saw the video. It was really great.
I mean, he did great. I mean, yeah. He couldn't have done better. It's that the sheep that he picked or that he got assigned to wasn't as aggressive as the person before.
And the other guy paid the judges a little bit more.
I'm sure they
greased
it.
Yeah, you got to grease the skids, bro.
And so he placed second, did great. Like, stayed on the whole 8 seconds. In fact, stayed on even past 8 seconds because I just told him, like, you don't let go. Like, you clamp your legs, you hold on tight, do not let go. And he was pumped.
You either don't let go or you don't come back.
That's right.
To our family.
That's
you
right.
You go find a new family if you let go of that sheep.
Is the video on our Facebook?
It's on my Facebook.
Oh.
You can find it on
It was very
on
good.
Mine. Yeah. You can find my Facebook. That you don't have to look for me. Yeah, sorry. I was
gonna say, aren't you already friends with, like, everybody?
No.
You have a lot of Facebook friends.
I do?
Yeah. Way more than me.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude. You're a little bit loose with your friendship.
I'm sure yeah. Well, and
which is
I also...
segue for our topic today.
I also, like, you know, get on Facebook every once in a while. Which does something.
Counts against you again.
Yeah.
Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want, when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan, David Niles. Adam, tell them what they've won.
A unpaid trip to our pilgrimage this October. Go to selectinternationaltours.com. You can join us in Italy with Father Stuart Krivkor.
That was good. Good one.
Thank you.
He didn't know. I didn't tell you I was going to do that.
No.
That was good. That almost sounded rehearsed. It was not. Adam, what are we drinking today?
Yes. So we're drinking a blended Scotch whiskey called the Sazenach, which is Gaelic.
That's rough, approximately how to say it.
Well, the box actually shows how to pronounce it.
It has pronunciation. You know what?
Yes.
Thank you, box.
Yes. So it's Sazenach. Sazenach.
Okay.
And it's Gaelic. Its origin is from the 1700s.
Okay.
And it means outsider or stranger.
All right.
So it's a unique spirit, is what it says. And wherever we are never alone. That's what it says. Which is true in the Christian life.
It is true.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers, Luke. He's not drinking. He's not old enough.
Just for the record,
it's good. It's a good whiskey. It's a blended Scotch whiskey, but it tastes like a Highland, or maybe a Speyside. Not quite a Speyside. Didn't have like that pear taste that Speysides typically do, but it's very drinkable.
As I recall, it was also like very reasonably priced.
Okay, because I would not pay more than $55 to $60 for it.
Yeah, I think it was about $60.
Yeah, I wouldn't pay more than that for it. But it's a good one.
Yeah.
So.
I also am enjoying it. I like the bottle too. The bottle's got kind of a good,
I do
a
like nice, the, it's nice art deco type of bottle.
Yes, it is very much. It almost looks like a decanter.
Yeah.
The bottle itself.
It looks like
is in the shape of
it
a.
It looks like one that
tall,
would be,
skinny decanter.
In what was that show? Matt or the average, like they were advertising the Mad.
Mad Men.
Mad Men. I want to say Mad Boys, and I was like, "That's not right."
The Mad Boys,
but I didn't watch any of those.
I didn't
movies,
either.
But, or shows. The
no,
show.
It was like there were people who did.
Yeah, Mad Men. That's it. Anytime that I, it's just it is a really roll of the dice, and typically not a good idea whenever I try to bring pop culture references to the show because they typically end bad.
Yeah, bro. I mean, like. When I'm the one who is knowing stuff about pop culture between the two,
yeah,
it's not good for the. I mean, well, or it is good. I don't know.
It's not good for the listener.
It's unusual for me to know
not
more
the
than
listener.
The other person.
Not good for the listener.
Or is it good for? Maybe it is good.
Maybe I don't.
You know,
Luke says no.
Maybe it's good that we don't know anything about celebrities. That's what I'm saying. You know,
I'm okay with that.
I am very okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anything else going on with you other than going to Wyoming? Anything else been going on?
No.
Are you,
well, I'm. In
I
the,
haven't really had a chance.
I'm in
to
the
to
process of processing wheat.
Wheat. Yeah.
Which is something I work on every day.
Are you reading anything?
I am reading "Man Alive" by J.K. Chesterton. G.K. Chesterton.
Man Alive?
Man Alive. It's one word. It's a novel. It's a kind of funny book.
I would
describe it as whimsical. So well, Monsignor...
Well, how
yeah, how Chesterton, like Chestertonian.
Everything by G.K. Chesterton so, is whimsical.
Monsignor Gallus told me to read it.
Okay. You know what you should also be reading?
I do.
The Republic.
I do... Anything that Monsignor Gallus tells me to do, pretty much.
Yes.
And he's been on our show before talking about Chesterton. So he's a
long time ago, but yeah.
Great priest of our diocese. And is one of the, he's one of
Chesterton
the Chesterton
scholars.
Experts, scholars of the world, right? He actually has a pretty, a very impressive collection, Chesterton library collection of some first edition stuff. Some things from his very Chesterton's own
library.
Yeah. And so we were talking about Chesterton and, you know, I would like to know him better.
Yeah.
And so he gave me a number of things, but for some reason, Man Alive,
what happened,
his description.
Man Who Is Thursday. Like what, the end of that book, I don't understand at all.
Okay. So we talked a little bit about it. I haven't read it, but he said the first Monsignor Gallus.
You liked it?
Told me that when he read it the first time, he assumed Sunday, or Man Sunday, was God. Mm-hmm. And that was why it was confusing. And then Chesterton himself said, he's not God, he's the natural law. And so I think with that context clue, I think, once again, I haven't read the book, but I was in a discussion with people who had, as we were discussing a number of Chestertonian books.
When did you see him?
It was...
why was I not there?
I don't know, dude. You weren't cool enough to be invited.
I
was invited to a very exclusive group with the post-Vesper party for Father Robert Williams.
Oh, I actually was invited to that as well, but I could not go.
Yeah, I would say the same.
I actually called him and I was like, hey, man... I'm really sorry I can't make it.
It was him and like his closest 80 friends. So
right,
it was not actually all that exclusive, but it was a very fun, it was a really fun gathering, really great. So anyway, that's where we were talking about it. And so I don't know if that helps you or maybe some of the other listeners, but Man Alive is kind of a whimsical, I almost text Monsignor Gallus in the first chapter to tell him, I have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. In this book, and the opening scene is strange, and then it settles into more of a comprehensible narrative. But
you're also reading The Republic.
Yes, but I am reading The Republic, but I've already read
book two.
I'm already set there. So I was reading Man Alive today. That's you asked me, and that's what I'm reading.
Yeah, book two is wild for the in the Republic.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about Gaiji's ring.
Yes, yes, which Tolkien clearly stole.
Yeah, I think Tolkien. I think he said that, right? I think he.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a Tolkien scholar.
Some
may say I am, but I'm not.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are saying like Adam Minahan. He just big Tolkien guy.
Yeah. So tonight,
you wish you were though, right? I mean,
I wish that I just loved it as much as like I always enjoy. You know how you watch a kid get so excited about seeing an animal frolic through the yard or something, and they're like, "Wow, he got so excited about that." I wish that I could get excited about that like he can. That's kind of the thought process is like, wow, you were so excited about Tolkien. I wish I could get that excited about him.
So do you feel like your inner child might just be really dumb?
Or dead?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, not the adult portion of you.
Yeah, but the
inner child. Inner child part portion of you is like...
I don't know. I like other...
Like some severe learning disabilities or something.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, there was something that came through my town... back in 86, some said they thought I was autistic, but I think I beat it.
Yeah. I mean, because everybody knows you just outgrow it.
I think I won. Yeah. but maybe, you know, my inner kid still has it. I don't know.
You know, we'll have to explore this some.
Somewhere, some other time.
Yeah, some other time. Yes.
Off air.
What are we talking about today?
So I was thinking about what we should talk about in this episode a couple weeks ago, and it came to my attention in prayer that I had not talked about in one of the episodes of the Catholic Man Show, one of my favorite Bible verses of all time. And then, so I thought, like, oh, I should talk about this. Like, this would be a good topic. I really like this Bible verse. And then I forgot about it, as I typically do.
Yeah.
And then I was in confession recently, and the holy priest that was hearing my confession said something, and it sparked, like, it reminded me about it. And I was like, okay. Yes, that's what I'm going to talk about at the end. Like, as I was leaving the confessional, I was like, oh yeah, I was thinking about that. I was already thinking about it. Like, that was, and he gave me some really strong, like really great words of wisdom that I'll talk about at the very end of this episode. So make sure you stick around to it, because it really was, I'm not going to be hyperbolic and say life-changing, but it really was
impactful.
Impactful.
When you confessed your sins, he's like, oh, this is very bad.
This is very bad.
You can never do this.
You can never do this.
Never do this.
I will tell you one thing. Never do this. No, he did not say that.
Because if he did, I know that guy. You know, that's a good confessor.
Yeah. That was a throwback to a couple episodes ago. So tonight we're going to talk about what it really means to be, like, what is friendship? And what it means to be have friendship with Christ? And what that gift is to us. And then at the end, this is kind of a culmination of this end that like really struck me. Like when the priest told me at the end of my confession, he said this to me, and I realized that a lot of the things that I've been doing in my life were not oriented the right way in my in thought process. So that's what we'll talk about tonight.
Right on.
I don't typically pull things from confession to our episode, but
we actually do it all the time. We do it. We do. You do.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. a lot of people have been asking. So the Catholic Man Show Campout is the last Saturday, last weekend of September. Signups will be coming soon in August. You're definitely going to want to sign up for it. We have some things that we've not done before in line for the campout this year. I've been on top of it this year. I've already ordered some things that we're going to be doing, which is good. So last weekend of September, it's at Clear Creek Abbey, and it's our 11th? No, 10th?
I don't know, dude.
10th annual?
I quit counting.
Something like that. It's a pretty big.
It's a number. It's like a real number.
It's a high number. Yeah. It's almost as old as Luke.
Yeah, bro.
He's 12. I know it's not that old.
You're like our camp out in the flesh, Luke.
Not really, but okay. So tonight we're something came out. So tonight we're going to talk about one of my favorite Bible verses from the Gospel of John. John chapter 15, really verse 14 and 15. But the setup is very important as well. So really kind of 12 through 17 or 9 through 17. But I'll just read the 14 and 15, and then you guys can, we'll kind of dissect a little bit before, a little bit after as well. So
very good.
John 15, 14 and 15, it says, this is Jesus saying, "You are my friends if you keep what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." That's 14 and 15. And the 16 is very impactful too. It says, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. And so I think that's I kind of did some Lectio Divina on this not too long ago. It's again one of my favorite verses. It talks about friendship. Friendship is a topic that I really enjoy talking about in general, and one I think that it is necessary for our culture, because I think that we have a very perverse or lack of understanding of what friendship truly is. And the more that I learn about it, the more I want to be like, guys, did you know about this? Did you know about, you know, when you talk about this Ciceronian understanding of friendship and the Aristotelian understanding of friendship, and then St. Alfred's talking about friendship, and then, you know, Aquinas and Augustine, like the more that you, it's kind of like the great books effect, right? The more that you learn about this topic from a whole history of people, that you realize like, they're all talking into one another, like, to one another, and that there are aspects of like Cicero and that Aquinas pulls from, that he would not come, without a supernatural grace, that he would not have come to the conclusion that he did on friendship without that text from Cicero, and how Augustine, you know, was much more Platonic because he didn't have a lot of Aristotle's writings at the time, and he pulled a lot from Plato, which caused this understanding of friendship to kind of not morph, but a kind of a development of doctrine, so to speak, from, you know, John Henry Newman's understanding, which was primed very well for Aquinas to take, and he would not have been able to have this deep and rich understanding, and we would not have a deeper understanding of what Christ truly means in this text without this conversation happening.
Yeah, and when you think about all of that and how important friendship is, you know, the Christian life isn't possible without friendship. Friendship is the point of the Christian life, which I'm sure we'll get to. And so it's just fascinating to ponder divine providence at work, working in these pagans, you know, non-Christians, in order to bring about the divinely inspired word of God here in this particular verse that we're talking about. You know, so to me, I think that's also really, really beautiful just to ponder the way the Lord works throughout history in order to, you know, they say Christ came in the fullness of time, that he had put all of these stones in place, all of these things were exactly as they needed to be for the advent of the Word of God.
That's right. Yeah, and even before, you know, Christ coming, before divine revelation, Aristotle realized that friendship between people is a virtue that is presented as being the highest moral achievement of man. So, like, in Aristotle's mind, in the Nicomachean Ethics, he says that true friendship, authentic friendship, is the highest moral achievement of man, and that vice renders friendship impossible.
Yeah. The ethic is really good. I really like it.
Which turns out, I found out, like, I was doing kind of a deep dive on this, and books from the ethics, Aristotle's books 8 and 9 and 10, which is talking all about friendship.
Yeah, the last two books.
The last two books, yeah, 9 and 10. Augustine didn't have those books.
He didn't?
He didn't even have those books.
So he missed.
It didn't come into the scene, so to speak, I think, until like maybe the 13th century. I don't know. Like, don't quote me on that. But come until
that's
late.
Because the first 8 books, he's really just talking about virtue, and he really sets the stage. His whole purpose, Aristotle's whole point, is that if you're not a virtuous person, you actually are incapable of friendship. And that there's all these people out there who think, oh, I have a good friendship, I'm a good friend, but they're not virtuous people, and actually they're incapable of friendship because they don't know how to give, they don't know how to desire the good for the other. I mean, it's an incredibly Christian idea.
Right, so why do you think why is it that he thinks that they're not even capable of friendship?
Because they don't have the good to give. You know, you cannot give what you do not have. And if your goal is what Aristotle calls the good life, or leading a life of virtue, where virtue is its own reward, right? Where we're doing and pursuing the good.
Mm-hmm.
If these people don't have these goods, they don't have these habits, these virtues, then they cannot assist each other in ascending, you know, what we would call the ladder of love.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why they're incapable of friendship, because they actually, because they haven't mastered or they haven't practiced virtue, their desire is inward. They seek only their own pleasures, which is actually the first two types of friendship that Aristotle lays out, where he talks about friendships of utility and friendships of pleasure, which are not bad. There's nothing wrong with these kinds of friendship.
But they're stepping stones.
But they're oriented towards ourselves,
right,
and not towards the good of the other, the third type being the authentic friendship, where I desire your good.
Right. And so Aristotle talks about how the friendship of pleasure is basically the elementary version of friendship, right? That it's because it's the lowest appetite.
Mm-hmm.
So we desire it, and we feel, you know, pleasure is a good thing, but it's a lower appetite compared to the higher appetites of, like, willing the good of the other.
Yeah.
And so he says that that's typically like a young man's friendship. And then the friendship of utility is more of like almost like a business or a government aspect friendship, that we both have some common ground that we can utilize. Mm-hmm. Your knowledge, I can utilize your knowledge, you can utilize my knowledge, so that we can achieve a greater good for the common good.
I like the example of a study buddy in college. You know, we have this class together. Hey, you know, we like each other. We're friends. Let's get together and study. But as soon as this class is over, we're not going to spend time together. It's not like we don't like each other, but
I'm not going to hang out with
the,
you.
Yeah. The purpose for our friendship is now gone, you know.
Right.
This friendship is useful and good as long as it's useful.
Yeah, and so I think that friendship is very interesting in that the authentic friendship is for its own sake.
Mm-hmm.
Is for like the good of itself,
of the other, right? So that authentic friendship totally transcends that natural desire we have for self-preservation and for self-establishment, and kind of like almost makes a new creation out of us, turning us into givers,
life-giving.
Yeah,
yeah, and there are many times where you have acquaintances, colleagues, associates, whatever you want to talk about, that it brings either pleasure, joy to be around them, like some type of like pleasure or joy. Mm-hmm. But it's more of a utilization of them, not a desire for their good. It's more of I want to be around you so that I can feel X, or I enjoy Y, or that we go do things that make me feel like right. this. And so it's almost a usury aspect of the other person.
I mean, I don't want to make it sound like a bad thing, because actually this is the vast majority of the friendships you have. You know, like
I said a friendship, or I said a colleague or an associate or something that is where it's not even actual a true friendship, because okay, the reality is you're not living a virtuous life, and so you actually can't have authentic friendship yet, or you can't even enter into true friendship. It's that you think that these colleagues or associates or people you work with, whatever it is,
you think that they're your best friends.
You think that they're friends.
Yeah.
But the reality is you're just utilizing them for your own good. It's a utility, and it's not for their own... It's not an end in and of itself, like friendship is.
Sure.
Because friendship is ultimately a communion with one another.
Yeah.
It's a sharing of life, which we'll talk about more in kind of works with John 15 as well.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Here with my friend Adam Minahan, my friend Jimbo Baggins, and my godson, Luke Minahan. I birthed him in the Lord. It's weird.
As soon as it came out of your mouth, yeah, you knew. Like,
came out weird. Sorry, Luke. Sorry you had to be here for that.
Someday you'll think that's weird.
I think he thinks it's weird right now.
So John 15, I no longer call you servants, but friends. And I find that to be very interesting, because I don't know if that I don't know if the Greek or whatever is like presupposing that he actually did call people servants in that time period.
Yeah. And another word is slaves. Sometimes you see, right. Yeah. So one thing I've wondered, you know, there's some things that do come to mind. It's like, was Jesus ever referring to his disciples as his servants? You know, right. It's never recorded that that he ever said that. I kind of doubt he referred to them. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things that kind of begs that question, but it's not the purpose of what he's saying. He's not trying to establish the fact that, remember when I used to call you my servants?
Right.
You know.
So there's a Catholic commentary on Holy Scripture that talks about this from the 1950s. It says they say that the servants receive orders, but are not given reasons. That servants are just ordered to do things. Mm-hmm. You don't know what the end is. You don't know why you're doing it, but you're just doing it. Friends are treated as intimates and admitted to its master's secrets. So that you know, oh, well, this is the reason why we're doing this.
Yeah.
This is the goal. This is the site. So Christ made known to his disciples all that he'd heard as man and teacher from his Father. Now, to me, like, if you actually stop and think about what that truly means, because from all of eternity, the Father infinitely loved his Son, pouring forth all that he has into his Son, and the Son receiving this and understanding the teachings and everything that the Father has given him. And Jesus loves his disciples with that same infinite and radical self-giving love of all from all of eternity. Christ, and he calls his apostles friends because he shares with them divine knowledge, not merely commands, which is so important for the Christian life, because today the culture thinks that the Christian life is all about yeses, like no's, and like strict rules to live. And that's not the case at all. It's so that you can become free in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, so it's not commands, like a master commands his servant to do certain things.
Right, or otherwise you'll be punished with hell.
Right, it's that here's the playbook for true happiness. Mm-hmm. Here's the playbook. Here's the route that you have, that you should take to be in front of the beatific vision for all of eternity. Because I've had it for all of eternity, and I want to give it to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, think about everything that's wrapped up in that one phrase, where everything I have received from the Father I have given to you. I mean,
what?
It's like, I just am thinking of that line from The Goonies, when they capture the Truffle Shuffle kid and they're like, tell us everything. And he's like,
everything?
Well, in the first grade. So it's like, Jesus is like, everything I have received from the Father, I'm giving to you. And I'm over here like, everything? You know, like, it's just he means it. The divine life that exists in the Trinity. He is making us and makes us all at our baptism new creations.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer the same people who are walking around, or, you know, when we had our diapers changed, whatever. Not the same person. We are literally a new creation. That is not a symbol. We don't mean that ceremonially. We mean that actually.
Right. And you know, that also... Like, so think about, like, from the Old Testament, that most of them were considered servants, right? Abram, mm-hmm. for Abraham, was considered a servant. He did not know what the Lord was telling him, you know, to go sacrifice his son. He did not know why.
Yeah.
But he was just obeying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But the Old Covenant servant, this is what Scott Hahn talks about in the New Ignatius Study Bible, which I find, you know,
great, incredible. Such an incredible resource.
But this is the moving from the Old Covenant of servanthood to the New Covenant of friendship. That he draws attention to the sharing of this divine knowledge as a sign for intimacy, that echoing that he's now Abraham, who is also called a friend of God. Abraham is now a friend of God. But it's this old covenant of servanthood to this new covenant of into friendship, which I find just absolutely beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you truly love the other, you desire them to know everything that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, that's what, like, think about when you first met your wife, you know, and like you were on your first date and you're like, oh, I just can't wait to go back to her and talk to her more and just tell her everything that I know. You know, tell her all these things that I want her to know about me.
Yeah,
and
just every second of all the time, all you're thinking about is like, when can I see her
suddenly
again?
I was awake, mm-hmm. and all I thought about was you. You know, like, and this love that you had for her, right? And so, but this is the infinite love that Christ has for us, that he came down and manifested himself to us so that he can show us the divine wisdom of our Lord.
Right, which of course is what caused his agony in the garden to be of such suffering. You know, that he has that passion and love. That's why our sins wound him so terribly.
Right. And St. Augustine even talks about how, like, how the difference between a servant obeys without understanding, right? It's like, I just don't know. It's like, I'm just obeying my master.
I'm just doing my job, man.
Just telling, like, almost like a dog and his owner. Like, the dog has no idea why he should be sitting right now. He's just obeying his master. But that a friend obeys with insight and shared purpose and understanding of, like, oh, this is the common goal. This is the end. And, like, this is the beautiful aspect of the friendship that Christ has given us, and that we, like, he chose us. We did not choose it. Like, that's what it says, right? That I chose you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That you didn't, like, this is a truly free gift. And isn't that a lot of times what friendship really is? It's not, like, friendship is this understanding of, hey, I'm not like, you didn't choose this. I didn't choose, like, this is a I'm just here for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not like tenure at a university that you have to earn. And then once you earn it, now you get like this, you know,
right.
You get this like golden pass forever where it's like, yes, oh yeah, we're like committed to each other.
Right. Yeah. So Aquinas talks about how he has a whole section about talking about charity and friendship and understanding, like, is charity friendship? Is friendship charity? Both sides of the sword, double-edged sword, I guess.
Sides of the coin, maybe.
Maybe sides of the coin.
Yeah, sides. You pick your object. Analogy, it's got more than one side.
Yeah, charity. So he says charity is a kind of friendship. It's the highest kind of friendship. Of charity, I'm sorry, of charity. For charity to be friendship, it must include, so he says there's three things it must include.
So friendship is the highest form of charity.
Charity.
Okay.
Yeah, and he says, and for charity to be friendship, there has to be three things involved. He says, the willing the good of the other person, so not using them for your own benefit,
mm-hmm.
right? Mutual love, so it has to be both. It has to go both ways.
Yeah,
and then a shared life or communication, so some kind of shared good.
Mm-hmm.
So then you think about like that from a Christian perspective. It's like, okay, well, Christ truly wills the good for you. He has mutual love, like he desires to have mutual love with you. It's the only time that doesn't happen is only through our fault, not his. And that he desires to have, like, that he came down for the sole purpose of having a shared life with you. That he suffered everything.
Mm-hmm.
And every drop of his blood. To have a communion with you. Which I find just beautiful, right? I mean, to me, like, that, like, friendship and the communion of saints and understanding, like, what, because we use the words communion of saints all the time, and like we don't understand, like, no, this is like the highest form of charity. This is understanding, like the communion of saints is a true friendship that maybe you have one person that you feel that way about here on earth, and it's not a true, it's not authentic because of your own concupiscence and their own concupiscence. Mm-hmm. The mutual love is restricted and bottlenecked due to the vices that we have in this life. This is what, you know, Aristotle talked about, how that vice renders friendship impossible. And so it's kind of like the more vice that you have, the more impossible it really is to have this true friendship.
Right.
But the communion of saints opens up that bottleneck. It opens up the dam, so to speak, to say, like, no, all of this is yours.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's just absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about it from the perspective of the communion of saints before, but I do like that. You know, it feels like friendship with the saints is sometimes one-sided, you know, but of course it isn't, right? If we're asking them to pray for us.
Right.
But there's not much I can do for them, you know what I mean? Hey, you really helped me out. What, anything I can do for you? Like, no, bro, I'm set.
Do the will of the Father, yeah. So you can come hang out.
That's
with us.
Right. That's how it's like. You want to do me a solid? You could really quit sinning. It, like, I hate it when you do that.
Right. All right. So we're out of time on Catholic Radio. Check us out on the podcast. We're on the Lord's team,
the winning side.
So raise your glass
and cheers to Jesus.
Okay, so this is where it comes into the confession aspect. So we kind of laid out the. A brief understanding of friendship and John 15. I highly recommend it's a great John, like 15:9-17 or so is such great verses to just ponder and reflect on in adoration. Highly recommend it.
Just get some meditatio up
yes.
in this.
Up in here. So I was in confession the other day, and I was like really lamenting, "Woe is me," and just, you know, telling our Father, you know, telling the Father, I was saying, like, you know, like, I feel like that this is like my relationship with this person is going wrong. I have a friction with this priest right now, which is just incredibly frustrating. I have like I feel like that I'm doing all these things. I have this ministry, you know, with the radio station, that I feel like that I'm doing all these things for the Lord. And it's like, I just feel like I'm constantly getting blocked. I'm constantly getting, like, there's friction. There's constantly frustration. There's constantly something that's like, why is this going wrong? Like, Lord, like, I thought we were friends. You know, like, I thought this was going to kind of, like, be, you know, like St. Teresa of Avila, who said, like, Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you don't have very many of them.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I was just thinking of.
And it's like, all these frustrations that I had, and I was like, I told him, like, clearly it's like the common denominator in all these frustrations is me, between all these things. And so clearly this is pride. But like, I feel like that I'm doing all these things for the Lord, and they're just constantly being, I'm constantly being roadblocked or like frustrated or upset, or, you know, just something that is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so clearly this is pride. And he said, let me stop you right there. I was like, okay. Which I always appreciate when like, if you're a priest listening right now and you say, let me stop you right there. I highly recommend like you doing, as long as like, that's what you think the Lord is asking you to do.
And he looked at me and said, this is very bad.
This is very bad.
You can never do this.
You can never do this. You'll have to walk on glass. And he said, you have to get out of the mentality that you're doing things for the Lord.
Okay.
He said, the Lord doesn't need anything from you. Not like he needs you.
Right.
You have to start thinking about doing things with the Lord. That, yeah, you're doing all these things, and maybe the friction there, it's because you're not doing what the Lord, like, your will is not like what
excuse
the will.
Excuse me, Lord, I'm trying to do something for you here.
Right.
Please, please, Lord, please.
Please.
I'm trying to do something for you here.
You're really causing me frustration here.
And can you wait till I'm done, please, Lord?
And when he said that, it was just one of those moments of, yeah, almost of an entitlement moment of, I thought that it's like, Lord, look at all these things that I'm doing for you. Mm-hmm. Like all like these ministries and like trying to raise my family up to love you. And like, we're, you know, doing all these things for the community. And like, look at all my things that I'm working on for you. And this priest said, like, that's not the mentality you have to have.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you have to have the mentality of doing things with the Lord. Because the Lord desires relationship with you. He desires to be in communion with you. He doesn't need anything from you. But that he desires to give everything that he has to you. Everything that he knows that the Father has revealed to him, he wants to reveal to you. And when these things come up, it's like maybe your will isn't united, like it isn't synced with our Lord's will.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's giving you this grace of frustration so that you redirect.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes sometimes it's for perseverance. Sometimes it's just so that way you can persevere through.
And but, the Lord's will is so mysterious and so incredibly...
Yeah, permissive, active will. Like,
but, you know, sometimes you might be in the middle of a ministry that you have, let's say, correctly discerned that God has, you know, he wills you to be in this ministry, okay? And yet, somehow, for some reason, it's not his will for you to be successful that day, okay? Like,
mm-hmm.
You don't know what he wants out of you cannot foresee the outcomes that the Lord has in mind, right? And so that's where we misstep sometimes, is that it's not so much what we're doing, but the, you know, what we should be achieving in
not being successful but being obedient.
Yeah, you know? Right. And of course we strive, that's not an excuse not to be successful, right?
Right.
But
what struck me again, and not to be this dead horse, but that you're not doing for him, but you're doing with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to be with him, you have to have a relationship with him. You have to have a friendship with him. You have to, like, that he no longer calls you a servant, because you're doing things, like, as a servant, you're doing things for your master. It's like, but I don't see the end of this. Like, I don't know why I'm doing this. Like, maybe I'm not doing this for the right reasons. It's like, but no, he calls you not a servant, but a friend. So he just wants to be with you through your life. He wants he wants this. He wants the relationship that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have in the beatific vision to be given to you for all of eternity. So he just wants to be with you.
Yeah.
And that really struck, that hit hard for me of understanding, like, there's all these things that I'm doing, and maybe there's other guys out there right now who feel like, you know, I'm working really hard. I'm getting up early. I'm trying to, you know, have an intellectual life, and then I'm trying to go to work, and then I'm trying to have, you know, family time at the end, and then I'm trying to make sure I'm doing things for my parish and then the ministry that I have, and that, you know, all the things that, whatever it is that you have. And then you have to stop and think, is like, well, wait, am I doing this for the Lord who doesn't need it? He doesn't need you. It's
correct.
A free gift. It's a free, like, he chose you. You didn't choose him, like the Bible verse says.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, all he desires is to be in communion with you. And so that should be the goal, which is what friendship is. It's just, it's in and of it's for its own good. It's for its own end.
Right.
Just to be with the other.
Mm-hmm. And it really takes the pressure off of whatever it is you're doing, right? Because if your goal is that friendship, you know, that doing things with the Lord instead of for the Lord, if they don't turn out exactly like you have in mind, well, it's like, well, I don't care. I was just trying to be with you, you know, right. Like, but if you're trying to do something for the Lord, then, like, you need it to go well so that you can feel,
right, which
so
is
you
very
can feel good
Pelagian,
about yourself.
Right?
It's very Pelagian. Yes. I was thinking that. And, you know, you can see how that would also, that's a quick cycle into pride.
Right.
It's like, because now you feel like I've earned the Lord's love,
right,
or whatever, which is a terrible, I mean, the devil would love for you to feel that way.
Right. So anyway, that's just some of the thoughts that I had.
Yeah. And there's just so, this is such a rich topic, not only just about friendship, but specifically friendship with the Lord and all of the implications and consequences and, you know, everything that means. It's not something that we'll be able to really,
and it's unique to our religion.
Cover here. It is. Yeah, it's
right?
Christianity alone.
Islam is not that way. Judaism is not that way. And then clearly, Buddhist, Hindu, all you know.
Well, yeah.
Those are not that way at all. But
those are like a lot different.
A lot different. Yeah. Scientology.
Yeah. I don't know. What's the one with the alien that came down from, like, in the volcano or something? Jim, what's that one? You were that for a while, weren't you? I'm just kidding. Is it, maybe it is Scientology. There's something about an alien.
I don't know.
That revealed itself, like, at a volcano. I don't know. I've heard some wild stories in my day.
Some of them are true.
Some of them are true. I've been assured so by the voices.
Anyway, so the reflection that I had today was just more of, like, the desire not to do things for him, but to do things with him.
I like that. That's a great mentality to take into your day.
Yeah. More on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
Raise your glass.
Cheers.